NBA Round 1 playoffs drag on. Aaron Hernandez saga continues. Maria Sharapova returns. But above all else, tonight's very special guest is Iowa State's NBA draft-ready starting point guard, Monte Morris. Stay tuned for a Lit Sports Weekly. Stay lit, yeah.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live Sports Weekly.
Okay. Okay.
Hey. Mask off.
Monte chose this.
Do the mask off challenge. What is the mask off challenge?
Oh, I have that coming. Me and my friend Brom.
This is you and your friend who?
Brom.
Who's that?
Just funny.
Do you know the mask off challenge? You pick the song, Monte.
Mask off, yeah.
The challenge. You know the challenge, though.
No.
The challenge.
So you guys can't hear it. It's mask off. Mask off, yeah.
And you guys out there can't see the whole, we got an extended squad tonight. Yes. Monte, of course, is on the panel, but his boys are with us. So it's gonna be a fun night. It's gonna be a fun night. They don't have on headphones, but they're gonna participate in the conversation, I'm sure.
Live studio audience. Live studio audience.
Right. Sports Weekly, every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We are your favorite sports squad. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, Insta Story, on Twitter at Erica Renee D.
What's up, guys? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Hit me up because I love you. And also, hit me up in the live chat.
Right,
we got some people here now. Hey, let's do this.
Hey guys, I'm Raina. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_LA. And of course, we have Monte. Where can they find you on Instagram and Twitter, social media accounts?
On my Twitter account is MonteMorris11. And you can find me on Instagram at BigGameTay.
And before we get into the head of our point guard on the panel tonight, make sure you follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Weekly. One day we are going to update that Instagram account. We promise. We promise. But in the meantime, the man of the hour.
Yeah. Okay. I have the pleasure of introducing one of the major keys to Iowa State's most efficient offense. He led the team in the NCAA tournament all 4 years. Set school records for career assists and steals. Big 12 tournament most outstanding player. Led the Big 12 and set a single season NCAA record in assist to turnover ratio. Senior scoring average 16.4 points per game and 6.2 assists per game. And now he's training in LA to get ready for the NBA draft. Yay. So, ladies and gentlemen, Monte Morris.
Woo, can we get a round of applause?
Nice. Round of applause.
Hey. Hey. All right. Hey. Sorry.
Let's go ahead and get started, right?
Well, we want to know about what you're doing in LA, how you're training. Like, yeah. what's your post college career been like? Even though it's only been a couple of months or weeks.
The competitor I am, I actually took off like 3-4 days and just got my mind ready and really just picked out my venue where I was going to train at. I trained in Atlanta with Nick Stapleton throughout college, and then, you know, this time around, I came out to L.A., you know, my agent, Ron Shade, and linked up with Keon Arkwright. You know, he's my trainer, but getting me ready, and that's how it's been. I've been out here just working hard. It's probably been one of the toughest times of my life as far as playing basketball. So, we just grinding and getting everything set up for June. So.
What is something that you're working on this offseason to improve for the draft?
Mm-hmm. Really just being more explosive and you know, I got the intangibles as far as being smart and making teammates better and passing the basketball. So they really just want to see me knock down a deep ball more, and that's what I've just been putting in a lot of work for, and ready to just show it when the lights come on.
Now, you were there all 4 years, right, freshman through senior year. What's your advantage that you would have, that you say that you would have over a one-and-done player?
I would just say my experience. I played in every high major game, you know, playing in one of the best conferences in the country, despite maybe the ACC, you know. So we've always played on ESPN and had to display our talents against a top 10 opponent every night. And I played my freshman year, you know, with 3 All-Americans on that team, and I was able to start and play my role. So, and I adjusted to 2 different coaches, Fred Hoiberg and Steve Prohm. So just me as a player, there's not a lot of guys that had to adjust, you know, their roles every year like I did. Mm-hmm. You know, my sophomore and junior year, I was more of a passer. Mm-hmm. You know, and this year I had to put my team on my back at times and score the ball more that I got away from 4 years instead, you know, since high school. So finding a guy like me, just knowing how to just, you know, adjust and just bond with different type of teammates is big. I feel like you don't find that a lot, you know, in college because everybody one and done, two and done.
Right.
So as far as sticking and, you know, leading a team every year, I feel like I'm that guy to do that.
All right, now the assist to turnover ratio is the most impressive stat to me. Yeah. That's a great stat. I think it's an awesome stat that shows that you are a point guard that takes care of the basketball. Not only takes care of the basketball, but you look for your teammates as well.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel like that stat and your ability to do that is overlooked by a lot of pro scouts?
Not really. I mean, a lot of the pro scouts, that's what caught their attention, you know. I'm not the fastest, I'm not the biggest guy, you know, but what, you know, I feel like me as a player, what stood out was my precision making, you know, my decision making, my passing, and taking care of the basketball. Because when you got more possessions, you know, in a game of basketball, you tend to put yourself in a better opportunity to win a game. So I think that stood out. And then they start looking at other things that I could bring to the table. So I think that kind of put me on as far as, hey, I might have a chance at the next level, you know, because I take care of the basketball.
Yeah, that and winning three Big 12 championships.
Right.
That does it as well.
And what's up, chat room guys? Make sure you ask your questions for Monte. You guys are
talking. Yes, if you have any questions. They're talking NFL draft.
Y'all talking NFL draft. NFL draft, so the NFL draft, Monte, is stealing your thunder, but they'll come around and ask you questions. They're pretty good about that. Okay, so my question to you is this. Do you have any preoccupation with whether you go first round or second round? Right now, you're projected to go mid-second round. Mm-hmm. Do you care?
I mean, not really. Honestly, you know, it's 60 players that get picked. And every person that get picked is a blessing. You know, there's plenty of people that enter the draft. So just getting your name called is a blessing, you know, at that. You know, so for me to be in a situation to be on that list is, you know, speaks for itself right there. And just knowing where I come from in Flint, because a lot of people don't get the opportunity where I come from. So just being, you know, recognized on that list, you know, is phenomenal by itself. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, preferably everybody want to go first round. But it's really what team picks you that needs you at the moment. I'd rather go, you know, the 60th pick to a team that's going to play me.
Right.
You know, opposed to going first round.
Like Spurs, he'll play. Pop until he'll take a chance on anybody.
Hell yeah.
Right. So, it's so hard to just stay in the league. So, I just really need to get my foot in the door because I got – you know, I'm self-motivated, and I got a great work ethic. So I'm just really trying to just get in the door.
So let's talk early career, Lil Monte. Yeah. So when growing up,
Man-Man, your mama called you Man-Man.
Yes. I wanted to ask, where did Man-Man come from? That nickname.
I got this question a lot, but you know, my mom coached at my high school that I attended. She went there and played ball.
That's sweet.
She went to Flint Beecher and I would always be in the way of her practices when she would coach the JV and varsity girls. And it was one day I messed up a drill and shot the ball during the drill. I almost hurt a couple of her players. And then, you know, they just said, man, get off the court.
Aww.
And then ever since then, I was probably like 4 or 5. And, you know, we got a small community in Beecher. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we stick together. So I've just been known as Man since a young age. And it just traveled all the way through my life. So.
Now, you're from Flint, Michigan, right?
Michigan, yeah.
Now, is the community rallying around you? I know there's a lot going on in that community.
Yeah.
So is there like a response that you're getting from the community? Are you lifting up their spirits? What has been the reaction towards your success?
By itself, Flint, before even a water crisis hit, I've been playing for my city. Mm-hmm. Just because I got, you know, I'm being role models to so many young kids growing up. I get DMs and messages all the time, you know, from people and their families saying how I encourage this kid to run the extra mile today and things like that. So once I see that type of thing, it just makes me grind that much more. And, you know, the city been behind me. You know, they always told me when I come back that they proud of me no matter if I go to the NBA or not. A lot of people don't get that love in their city. And this past season, well, last year, you know, I donated like 11 truckloads of water to Flint. And my mom was able to hand out waters, you know, and they drove them from Iowa. So that just showed how Iowa, you know, respect. So, yeah, that was a good deal. And my city, man, is Flint. We got a lot of great ball players that couldn't be in my position that probably was more talented than me. So I'm just enjoying the moment, man, and they backing me. So.
Well, you say that because, I mean, we obviously think that you're pretty awesome, but for you to say as talented as you are and as successful as you've been, for you to say that there are other players in your community who are more talented than you is super humble, first of all. Second of all, what set you apart? Like, how did you get to where you are versus, I don't know, Man-Man 2.0, you know?
I mean,
why you?
I mean, I would say, honestly, I just take credit and give credit to my mother. You know, my mom is my backbone. You know, me not having that father figure growing up at all, you know, she did things that, you know, a kid with two parents, you know, wasn't able to do. So I really want to thank her because she really kept me in that lane and showed.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah, she never forced. she never really forced me to be a basketball player. I think that's why I love her, you know, more than a normal kid because she never forced me to play basketball. She always told me she would support me with anything I did. And if I wanted to call it right now and say I'm done playing ball, she would support me. She wouldn't force me to
she
do it.
She wouldn't curse you out and slap you in the back of your neck. Because your agent would.
Yeah, for sure. So, I would just say that. And me personally, growing up, I think I came around in a good era because I seen the best in my role models when I was young. Maybe get in some trouble and go the wrong way. So, you know, once I promised myself once I got to that level, I stay level-headed and just stay focused.
Who were your role models growing up?
I had a lot of role models in Flint. Yeah, I think my biggest role model, though, was DeAndre Upchurch. He went to Trayvon High School, my boy right here, high school. He was well-known around the state. His senior year, he had like 38, 36, 35, and 40 point games. Yeah, jeez. First four games, then he got in trouble and couldn't play no more. So that moment, I was in the eighth grade on my way to start on varsity that next year as a freshman. And once he got in trouble, it really just showed me how quick it can be going. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I seen that, it really opened my eyes that, you know, the law don't play with nobody. So,
right.
Yeah.
Now, who would you compare your game to? Like a current NBA point guard, maybe. I know it's a weird question because I think you are a little different than the modern NBA point guard right now. Mm-hmm. You kind of remind me of, you know, your pass first. You look for your teammates. You can't score the basketball. You shoot a nice percentage. You shoot over 50% from the field. So that's very rare for a guard. So it's not the typical shoot 44-45% that you get from other guards today.
I would say
That's not shade. That's not shade.
No. I'm just saying. If you don't want to compare yourself to someone currently, and maybe even someone like from the 80s or the 90s.
That's a great question. Yeah. Okay. Honestly, I feel like I don't try to nitpick one player. You know, like I would call, you know, Keon because he do a lot of my film and say, you see that move Damian Lillard did. I'm a big Damian Lillard fan. You know, Isaiah Thomas, we worked on a lot of his stuff today.
Cool.
But like as far as pick and roll and having a feel for the game, I would say Chris Paul, I like, you know, because you know, I could read the floor. I'm not looking at my defender. I'm looking at the backside, you know, just seeing how they rotate. Right. Who I got the lob or the shake or the skip. So I would just say I watch, you know, one or two, three, four players and try to implement all something they do into my game. So it's not really one specific person, you know. Yeah. So
smart.
Yeah. Nice.
Can we jump into the topics?
Let's do it.
Just real quick, NBA playoffs, round one is dragging on. I say dragging on because
dragging on for you, Clipper fans.
Well, listen, and it's not dragging on for you, Laker fans. You ain't watching your team play.
We're building.
Right. Well, we're going to be rebuilding, too, pretty soon, looks like, after tomorrow's loss, I'm sure. But I know. I mean, I just got to tell it like it is. We look awful.
Chris Paul said y'all coming back to L.A.
Paul is a liar. Chris Paul. But anyway, I love my team. It's dragging on. Cleveland swept the Pacers. Warriors, of course, swept Portland.
Right.
They both look unbeatable in their respective conferences.
I wouldn't say Cleveland looks unbeatable. I think so? I think they're going to make the finals, but I wouldn't say they look unbeatable.
Yeah, I think the Cavs will have a tougher mm-hmm. time with their matchups as opposed to the Warriors with the Clippers
What's going on? Our live studio audience is chiming in. You guys can feel free to chime in.
You know, we'll just talk stats.
Okay.
We'll just talk stats.
Right. Well, so I think that Cleveland looks unbeatable in the East. Who could beat them?
I'm not saying they're going to be beat. I don't think they are going to be beat, but I think that they would have a cool series at Washington. I think that series goes about six.
Okay.
Depending how Washington plays, maybe seven. I think Washington has enough firepower. Everyone in the starting five can score the basketball. John Wall is a really good point guard. Definitely. Cleveland's not playing great defense right now, so if there's a team that can keep up with them offensively, it's probably
Wizards.
Washington.
Okay. Reyna?
I mean, yeah, but if we're going to talk about the next series between the Bucks and the Raptors, who do you think would have a better matchup for Cats.
With the Bucks and the Raptors. Wait.
Well, the Raptors, just won the series.
Yeah, they just won.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess it's Raptors-Cavs.
Raptors-Cavs, that's going to be interesting.
Right.
Kyle and Kyrie.
Kaz in five or six. Awesome. I don't think that's
going to be too interesting, to be honest with you.
We have a question in the chat, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, what's up, chat room?
Have you gotten any advice from any players about draft night that were in the same shoes as you?
That's a good question. Hey, Mr. Rickman.
I have. You know, specifically, I don't want to name them, but
yeah.
They just gave me a lot of advice. Just don't try to listen to, you know, where you're going to be. You know, just take it, you know, one pick at a time, and don't put all your eggs in the basket
for
one situation,
right.
And
yeah.
just be thankful for
right.
wherever you go and
pray
just make
go
the
to
best
the
of it.
I'm sorry.
We're not
going to
do that.
Sorry, Josh.
Long-suffering Knick fan.
I know, hey. Okay.
Yeah.
I like the sound effects, Ronnie.
Shout out to Mr. Regman.
Okay, so another NBA round one storyline, the Clippers looking like they are imploding as we
Blake's injured.
But Blake is injured every year.
Yeah, I know, but
as is Chris Paul every year. So you have to plan for one or two injuries in the postseason for the Clippers every year. And it's not ideal, but it's a fact of life. So if the Clippers don't win tomorrow night, or if they, let's say, regardless if they win or lose this series, if they lose or win this series, and or if they face the Warriors next series, is it time to blow this team up?
Yes.
Live studio audience?
Well, define blow up, because I think they're going to try to get rid of Blake.
And okay, so Josh made an interesting point, Rain. I don't know if you saw us going back and forth on Twitter. So Josh was like, you guys should give up Blake and try to get Paul George. But my thing is that we've always been weak at the three since Doc has been there. And Paul George would satisfy that position, but you lose so much in the post with the tandem of Blake and DJ.
You got to make adjustments then. First of all, Paul George is better than Blake Griffin in my mind. Yes, you might lose some at the four, but now you got Paul George at the three. You have to be a different team now. You're not going to be Lob City anymore. You form a different offense. You have to adjust to your personnel. You can find a free agent at the four who can give you 10 to 12 a game, give you some rebounds. I mean, you don't have to be the same exact team that you are right now. You can just reshape your team.
Rain, what you got to say about
rebuild.
That? Rebuild.
The whole thing?
Trust the process.
So you fire Doc?
Yeah. I like Doc.
So. I like Doc, too.
I like Doc.
I wish our chat room and you guys out there watching could see our live studio audience. but they're funny. Y'all are funny. Okay.
Would you fire Doc? Round of applause. Yes, no?
Round of applause. Look at that. Okay. Okay. Listen. Hey. I can say I'm emotionally... He's a very good man. Yeah, he's
awesome.
A good man. And I'm emotionally attached to that team. Like, I'm emotionally attached to Doc and to Blake and to all of them. Like, that has been
the only type of success you've ever had as a Clipper fan.
Well, that's not true, though.
Back in the day, Sam Cassell was.
But even before Doc, though, even before Doc, Vinny Del Negro actually had as much success regular season and postseason as Doc Rivers. Okay, let's talk about Russell Westbrook. Not his fashion.
His fashion's.
You know what?
I like it.
It's a great topic.
Let's talk about his fashion.
His fashion is nice. Mama, I got like four videos from my mom sending me videos. she know I like clothes and stuff, so I like his swag, honestly. It's different.
Okay.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
So my friend Thomas Jones and I go back and forth about Russell Westbrook's fashion. So you say you like his fashion.
Yeah, definitely.
Thomas Jones, look, we have another professional player who co-signs Russell Westbrook's fashion sense.
I just like his confidence in it. He like no other player would wear something like that, but Russ does, and he just wears it he just swags it out because he's super confident. What about you? What do you have to say about
that? I mean, I don't care for it. I don't hate it or like it. I don't know. I'm not really a fashionable person, as you can tell. I mean, look at me. I dress like this.
You are. I've seen you out. Just kidding.
Well, J-Rod, take away the floor and talk about Russell Westbrook moving forward now that series is over.
As far as what?
I mean, like, okay, so if he stays, he has the option to sign a 5-year, $220 million contract. If he stays in OKC under the CBA, new CBA. If you're Russell Westbrook, do you stay or do you try to go somewhere and chase a ring?
I mean, he's already voiced his opinion that he wants to stay. Now, if he stays, it's up to the GM and it's up to – I don't like Donovan as a coach.
Okay.
I don't like their system. I don't like the way the team is built. That's why I'm not going to blame Russell for everything.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. The Thunder were not better than the Rockets. There's no way they should have won that series. So to blame Russell for losing that series is ridiculous.
Right.
I got on him for a little – you know, a couple of things, but that's just because I have a problem people glorifying someone shooting 38% from the floor and having 7 turnovers. Anyway, I think they should get more shooters. They need more shooters.
Okay.
Spread out the defense, have him drive and kick. Not so much a D'Antoni system, but he doesn't have any really threat from the outside. Oladipo's nice, but he's more of a slasher. He can shoot the ball, but not really. They just got McDermott, and they didn't really play him that much. I just don't like the personnel that they have with him. I don't think it messaged well with him.
Do you think that Russell Westbrook, as a player, could be successful anywhere if he continues playing the way he plays.
He needs to calm down a little bit, but he plays the way he plays because he feels like he has to do everything. Do you get what I'm saying? He takes it upon himself to do everything.
Reyna?
He had one hell of a season, though.
Right. No, he did. He absolutely did. He's going to win MVP.
Everything. I mean, averaging a triple-double is pretty damn good.
But he definitely needs help. He needs more shooters. I mean, you're going to need another star when you're in this league. You can't win as your only star.
Ooh. Monte, you want to jump in and say anything?
Yeah, I just feel like he's MVP in my eyes. You know, mm-hmm. James Harden and LeBron, yeah. Kawhi Leonard, them crazy talents too.
Right. Like,
phenomenal talent. But, you know, for a guy to get 42 triple or 43 triple-doubles out of 82-plus games, you know, that speaks for itself. So I definitely would say what he brings to the table every night is rare, and you just gotta take your hat off to him, whether they win it all or lose it.
Right.
But you know, for him to do that, especially with team scouting you too, and you're on the top of the scout report, is different from when you the eighth or ninth guy and you just getting spot up shots. So for you to be the number one option and performing like that on a night in back to back nights, traveling, he's big time. Mm-hmm.
Chat room. Anything?
Demo says blow up the Clippers. They had their time in 2015 and blew it. They need to move on.
Hey, Demo. Listen, I'm ready to move on. I'm going to trust the process. Okay, any other relevant, interesting storylines from round one that you want to chime in on, Monte, Reyna? Life Studio audience, Josh?
Not really. I thought the Bucks were going to take the series at first.
I did too.
I was excited for them. I think they were about a year or two away.
So the Bulls Celtics, you think is over?
Rondo's out. If Rondo's out, I think the Celtics are going to win game six. They're just a different team without Rondo.
That was a close game, though, last night.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but you know, you have a point guard who's opening up shots for everybody. I mean, I saw a stat that like they had like 15 or something like that open shots with him on the floor in games one and two, and then in game three they only had five open shots or something like that. And that's insane. That's what a point guard does. You know, he creates open shots for everybody.
You laughing over there. Go ahead.
Right. He can't shoot.
That's right.
Sorry. But it doesn't matter. He can't shoot. I mean, he Rondo is such a smart player. He's a head case in my mind, but he's a smart player. He knows how to get people open. He drives with a purpose to pass the ball and create for other players, and that's what I think a point guard should
do. Yeah, but I feel like sometimes with Rondo, I think he tends to slow the ball down too much. He wants to get a pass going instead of scoring. I don't know. That's the only part of my game that I'm not really a fan of with Rondo, but I mean, hey. Pass first point guards.
I'll take him. Demo says that she loves Russell's style, and Mr. Regman said Russbrook got his squad of kindergartners to pick out his outfits.
So, I don't know. I like Russell's fashion. I'm with Monte on that. He's a fashion icon. Okay, ESPN, real quick, lays off hundreds of TV and radio talent.
We got some jobs to apply for, guys.
Right, we do. Now, so a lot of people... And when I say a lot of people, I mean social media trolls, are saying that the layoffs are because of how ESPN has politicized sports. People are saying that ESPN has gotten too far away from reporting, like just hardcore sports reporting has gotten too much into finding out what Man does on the weekend, you know, and, you know, what his personal life is like, as opposed to just reporting his stats and facts and analysis. But the studies actually show that cable providers are losing subscribers by the millions, not just ESPN.
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, millennials and, you know, people, Generation Xers and Yers, like, we're starting to watch television on our phones. Like, we're choosing other options, like, to consume our media. So as far as ESPN politicizing their network, it's not really the reason. However, whatever the reasons are, of the layoffs, who are you going to miss most? Monte, you want to kick it off?
Everybody. He's going to miss
everybody. You're going to miss everybody on
ESPN.
Yeah,
really everybody.
I mean, honestly, it's sad. I mean, I think everyone. My heart goes out to all the families affected in this. I mean, some reporters are moving their entire family across the country for this job, and you know, I don't know. It's just unfortunate. I don't say there's somebody that I can say I will miss the most. I think everybody, you know, is affected by this, and I feel for them.
I say Jason Stark.
Jay Stark
and
for
Len
sure.
Elmore, who did college basketball.
I will say this. I can't pick out one person that I will miss the most, but I will say this. Now, you know I love Stephen A. Smith, but Stephen A. Smith has, since Max Kellerman became his sidekick, has gotten more annoying to me.
He's still the same to me.
He's gotten more annoying. I believe that because Max is so smart and very informed and probably as informed.
He's getting exposed, you think so?
I think he's getting exposed.
Because he's not going against Skip Bayless.
Because Skip is more of a punching bag.
Yeah.
And Skip is the like, oh, okay, I'm goofy, whatever. But Max will come at you not just with the stats, but with some literature to back it up and like history. And I think Stephen A. has to... His attitude has been amped up. Like, he's completely exacerbated. So I don't want him to lose his job, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but they're not going to get rid of Steve.
Yeah, of course not.
No.
Okay. Is there anything that ESPN can do to maintain or get his viewership back?
Not really. I mean, they're under contract with a lot of, the NBA contract.
Right.
They have different types of contracts that are hemorrhaging money right now. Fox Sports is on the rise, with social media and all these other platforms online,
right.
It's easier for us to access sports. It's just their days as the worldwide leader of sports are over.
Right.
It's not saying that they can't compete. It's not saying that they can't have a prominent position in the media. They're just not the number one go-to anymore.
Mm. I saw someone on Twitter say that ESPN is now to sports what MTV is to music. Because when I was growing up, MTV played music videos all the time. And now...
Is it TRL or something?
Like TRL and... TRL and other music videos.
Show that stuff.
Yeah.
Yo MTV Raps.
Yo MTV Raps! Y'all are too young. Y'all know that, do you? Yeah. Okay, I know. Okay. So, but yeah.
Our studio audience knows.
Right. Live studio audience. I came in here to ask me if y'all were 21, remember?
Right.
Okay. So I thought you
were like 22, 23, 21,
18, 19. Our live studio audience. You guys can't see our live studio audience. Okay, now is the part of the show where we talk about whether these topics are a big deal or nah. Big deal or nah.
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to take it away?
Go ahead.
Okay, Aaron Hernandez allegedly had a prison lover.
Secret lover.
We'll keep Monte out of this.
Well, this is NFL. You can talk NFL.
No, let's not get it.
Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know, there was a letter, allegedly. And there was three letters, one for his wife, one for his daughter, and then one for somebody else at the prison. Which still there.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Now the lawyer's saying that letter to his lover is fake. Like
Kyle Kennedy, which is the secret lover,
right.
His lawyer says that it was for him.
Yeah. I think this is a big deal, not because Aaron Hernandez is bisexual, allegedly bisexual. I think it's a big deal. Because it just adds so many layers to the rise and fall of one of that generation's most prolific tight ends. He could have been a superstar for so many more years.
Yeah.
Live studio audience, you guys want to chime in on the conversation? Y'all want to chime in, live studio audience? Okay. I say it's a big deal. I mean, again, not because Aaron Hernandez was bisexual, because apparently that was a part of the reason he committed that last murder, because his brother, Leah Odin, apparently knew that he had... was getting it like that too.
Only God knows the truth.
Yeah, whatever. So I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal too. It's a very fascinating story.
It is. I'm really.
And speaking of ESPN, I kind of want to see an ESPN 30 for 30 on it.
Yes.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Big deal or nah, Reyna?
For Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah, the gay lover.
Big deal. Big deal.
Monte, you want to chime in?
No.
Okay. You want to take this one too? Because we never looked at the correct pronunciation of Gift. Is it Gifte?
The Pirates, Gift.
Gift.
Mr. Gift. He's the first African in the MLB.
Go with
his first hit. Big deal or not?
That's a huge deal.
That's awesome.
It's a big deal because, the base, the demographics of baseball, there's no Africans. They're losing the African-American community.
Right.
I know that's a huge, gap in their market right now. So if they can have
an actual African.
Right.
Not just an African.
I mean, I don't know how good he is. I haven't paid attention to...
Charlie!
Baseball all this year, to be honest with you. But, if he can become a star or a superstar, that'd be huge.
Monte, what is funny over there? You got to chime in on the conversation.
Yeah, I'm going to chime in. I think that's big time, for sure, for organization to do that and, get somebody recognition like that. And, award is good.
First African
That's crazy,
though. Yeah, first African in MLB. The first African?
2017 is the first African, too.
Because what do Africans typically do? They run? I'm just saying because
we both have to be honest.
I'm just saying, y'all, this is
reckless,
Because, like, for example, Australians play, Aussie rules.
Right. Africans are big into soccer, I know that.
Africans, okay, they play soccer.
Yes, they play soccer.
And they run. Whatever.
Okay, well, Maria. Big deal, though. We agree. It's big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Big deal. Maria Sharapova returns to the court after a 15-month-long doping suspension. Big deal.
I say it's a big deal.
Is she still good? I mean, I have no idea.
I say it's a big deal. I don't know if she's still good or not. But she did today. She did advance to the semifinals for the Porsche Grand Prix tournament. So, I mean, I don't know what her competition in this particular tournament is looking like. But she did come back from a 15-month suspension and has advanced two rounds already. So I would say she's pretty damn good still. But I say this is a big deal because a lot of her contemporaries are saying that once you get caught doping, in the tennis world at least, you should be banned forever. Which is a little bit different. Yeah. Which is a little bit different than all the other sports, because you get caught doping, you get suspended or whatever, you miss a few games, and then you're back like nothing happened. So I think it's really interesting that her opponents are like, she should be banned for life. So I think that speaks volumes to...
Yeah, it's a little harsh.
Right. I think it speaks volumes to the culture of that sport versus NBA or NFL or Barry Bonds and MLB and whatever.
Well, it's also a big deal because it's name recognition. I don't really... Aside from the Williams sisters, I couldn't tell you...
Anybody else who plays tennis.
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of puts, women's tennis out in the forefront.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I don't know. I don't know if she's good anymore. I have no idea about how she's going to perform.
Okay. What are you looking at? I was looking at it. Stephen A. Smith. Raina, big deal?
I personally don't like athletes who use banned substances, regardless of what sport you play for. But that's just me. That's just me.
So what's a big deal
for you?
Big deal, I guess.
You think she should be banned forever?
Yeah. I personally, for the athletes who work hard... we'll talk about that after off air. So,
go ahead.
Say your point.
I just feel like for those athletes who work hard, they put in the extra work, they put in the extra time in, they put the get shots up before game, after game. Like, I think that those players, that's just unfair to those type of players who put who just don't go to banned substances.
But
like,
what happens when you are, let's say Josh, J-Rod, you're the number one center for the Knicks.
Center.
I don't know.
5'11".
Okay, well.
Shooting guard
for the Knicks. Number one shooting guard in the Eastern Conference, whatever. Right. And you're competing for your job against the next new, hot, young, sexy shooting guard who's coming up. And you don't have your legs. You don't have your knees anymore. So for you to keep your Nike contract or, your Rolex contract, like for you to stay hot and compete with the guy who's coming up.
Compete. The key word is compete.
But nobody defeats father time. Like, your knees and your legs and your body's going to
Okay, well, so a prime example, I know you guys are going to, get on me for this because you guys are not big fans of him, but Kobe Bryant, he lost it. He's getting older, you know, he's not as fast, he's not as quick as he used to be, but he is the most competitive player ever. He still worked harder than that. It's just, a competitive thing. If I see a freshman or anybody coming in, and that's better than me, that's competing for my position, just to make me work harder than that person. Personally, I'm not going to go to substances or whatever because it's cheating.
I'm not saying that all I'm saying is I understand why people do it. I totally understand. If you want to keep your lifestyle, if you want to keep your hot streak, if you want to keep yourself in the forefront of whatever that sport is, it's hard. It's hard to maintain. It's hard to maintain that body over the course of a 17-year career. So I get why athletes do it. Yeah. I see why athletes do. I mean, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying that I understand why people do it.
Mr. Regman says, big deal. She better step up now while Serena's pregnant.
Right. Somebody says, Demo says Africans play baseball too. Thanks, Demo.
I mean, apparently they don't, though, because they didn't have anybody in the major leagues.
That's right, Demo. How about that? So if Africans play baseball, Demo, then why is this the first MLB player who's an African? Answer me that.
Africa. From Africa. Not African American.
Yeah. Right.
Not African American. Right. Just play from Africa.
That's funny. This was funny. I wish you guys could see our live studio audience. They're distracting us right now. You guys are being a very unruly live studio audience. It's okay, though. We love you guys. And they're Monte. They're your buddies, so we definitely love them. Monte, you got to participate in this round. This is called Fair, Foul, or Can't Call It.
All right, let's do it.
Fair, Foul, or Can't Call It. This is part of the show where we talk about these topics are fair, foul, or we can't call it. You might not want to participate in this first bullet point, Monte. But maybe you will. I don't know. Rockets owner Leslie Alexander is fined live studio audience is already chiming in. Rockets owner Leslie Alexander's fined $100,000 for yelling at the ref.
Foul, let him yell at the ref. Who cares?
And he got on the court and stood behind the ref and yelled at him.
Come on, he didn't run onto the court. He just stood behind him and yelled. Everyone talks to the ref. Don't fine him $100,000. That's ridiculous.
So that's foul? You said that's foul?
The foul that they fined him.
Really?
Yes. Why are you fining him for?
Because he's an owner. Like,
so
you,
what?
You,
he's a fan of the game. Let him talk trash.
I'm surprised that you said this of all people.
Why?
Because like, there's a certain like.
That's a lot of money, $100,000?
You're a billionaire. You can afford $100,000.
That's still $100,000. No.
Well, you should stay your ass in the seat.
He owns the team. Let him talk trash to the ref.
But you cannot physically like go up and
he didn't hit the ref.
He didn't hit. No, he did not.
He didn't
hit
interrupt.
The ref.
He didn't interrupt play.
But that's a lot. An owner confronting a ref, like an owner has a lot more cachet than does an assistant.
So
coach. You
had a problem with it?
With what?
What he did.
I don't have a problem with what he did, okay. But I think it's fair that he got fined $100,000.
Just because he's the owner and he's expected to live up to certain. Type
yes.
Of, okay.
Yeah, all I right. Do. I think it's fair.
Okay, Raina?
I can't call it.
Ooh.
Just because he walked up to the ref's ear. If you guys saw the video, he walked up to the ref's ear and yelled something to the ref's ear and then walked back to his seat. If he was sitting in his seat and he was yelling something like, oh, bad call or whatever,
right.
then that's not
no
a big deal.
Deal.
But because he walked up to the ear and said something and then walked back to his seat, that's probably why he got fined.
Owners are, I mean, look, Mark Cuban.
But Mark Cuban has accumulated.
He's gotten fined.
He's gotten fined too, yeah. Monty, you can't chime in, huh? Okay, great. Fair, foul, or can't? Oh, chat room. Fair, foul, or can't? What did they say?
Bregman says, foul, I could use that money.
Right.
Right. I could use $100,000.
Leslie Alexander, go ahead and cut BHL a check, but write it to Sports Weekly crew, and we'll split the check. And we'll do some really positive things. We'll donate money to Flint, Michigan's water crisis.
That's what's up.
In honor of Monty.
That's dope.
That's what we'll do, and we'll keep the rest and do what we want to do with it. fair, foul, or can't call it. Now, this is something that's very precious to my heart.
Okay.
Ohio State cornerback Gerrion Conley's draft stock. I don't know if he's gotten drafted yet because we're not watching the draft, but he was expected to go to be a high draft pick in the first round. Ohio State cornerback Gerrion Conley, his draft stock is expected to drop drastically amidst the rape allegations. Now, this is a really, it's a very fluid situation because the accuser's story is now lining up because TMZ.
She's lying. They've proven that she's lying.
Damn, Josh.
Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
I don't really want to say anything.
Go ahead. Get the facts. I'm looking up to see if he's been drafted.
Okay. So the girl basically said she got raped, and her timeline of where she was didn't match up to the video that TMZ found from the bar. And they were much friendlier than she claims that they were.
Right.
So her story has a lot of holes in it. So is it fair, foul, you can't call it, that his draft stock is dropping even though he's only been accused and not charged? Monte?
Oh, don't ask Monte. That's
okay.
I can't call it.
You can't call it?
I can't call it.
You can't call it. Listen.
I would call it.
A rape accusation is very, very, very,
I would say
very,
foul because
very, very serious.
Yeah. It is. But you remember that NHL player last year who, I forgot what, was it the Blackhawks? Some NHL player last year, I should know this, was accused of rape. And while he was going through the trial or the allegations, the NHL let him play.
Because
in this country, you are allegedly innocent until you're proven guilty.
Right.
Yeah. And
it does, she looks like she's, right now, it looks like she's lying.
And her story has a lot of holes.
It has a lot of holes. It's not adding up.
So I'm going to say.
I'm saying foul.
I'm going to say it's foul, too. And again, I always get so nervous because I always seem to take the guy's side.
It's not taking the guy's side. Rape is very serious.
It is serious.
You don't, who knows what happens? So you want to be very careful because you don't want to blame a potential victim.
Right.
So you have to be very careful about
it. You have to be careful. But if you are in a situation where you got sexually assaulted, why lie? Like, why lie? Like, why lie about any of your timeline from that night?
Right.
Point blank, period. I say it's foul. And I say that his draft stock should not drop because if he's found guilty, then he's found guilty. Then, you know, then he probably is void of any money he would have gotten. So draft him where you would have drafted him.
Right, that makes sense.
And then void his contract if necessary, if he's found guilty. In the meantime, if your team needs a cornerback, Gerrion Conley is on the draft board. That's all I got to say. Was he drafted?
No. Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, better get that boy. Fair, foul, can't call it. Chat room, fair. He needs to sit down so he can avoid those fines.
That he's talking about. She's talking about the Rockets owner.
Oh, the Rockets. Yeah. All right. You want to chime in on anything? I know we're just going through our bullet points, but you want to anything that's come
well,
to your
I
mind?
Well, I have a question. The next one.
Go for it.
The next one, Fair Foul account called it. David Sir publicly shames Nets for resting starters during the last regular season games. And throughout the whole season, the NBA, you know, there's a lot of teams that are resting their starters. Mm-hmm. As a player, you personally, when you were playing in college, you're a point guard, so you're playing both ends of the floor. You're pushing the ball. Sometimes you're getting pressed. You have to beat the press by yourself. Mm-hmm. When it comes to resting and taking care of your body, what are some things that you did personally to take care of your body so you can finish off the whole entire season?
Right.
I mean, man, this year was the first year I actually had a backup, so I played less minutes.
Really?
So, my sophomore, junior year, I played like 38, 39 minutes, so I would really be exhausted, but I just had to do, like, the most. So, like, if we came back from Norman, Oklahoma, got in probably, like, at 12:30, 1 a.m., and I had class at 8, instead of me going home, I probably had to go to the hot tub and, you know, do that type of thing, get stretched by trainers more than often. And, I think that's the biggest thing. And I think as far as, you know, teams sitting guys out, every team got a different makeup. You know, teams might have older vets that might need rest. So you can't really nitpick one team and criticize them for doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, long run, especially if you're going to be a playoff contender and things like that, you got to look at the bigger picture. And, you know, if you already in, why exhaust your player? So every organization is different. So
I think David Stern's getting on the Nets specifically because I think they're playing the Heat, and the Heat had to win the game to get into the playoffs.
Right.
And the Nets are the worst team in the league. Why are you resting players?
Yeah,
like, you have no one to rest for anything.
He also said that there's going to be schedule changes coming up, and then now technology is going to determine whether or not the player plays or not, and not the coach. So I don't know what type of technology, what it was said.
That sounds good, you think?
I mean, it probably tests your body and see, you know, where you got aches and things.
Yeah.
And if you can go, that's good. Opposed to, because you got to think, it's some players that'll play with a concussion. Like, they could be hurting and like, just their competitive side to just say, I'm going to play. But in real life, they shouldn't be, you know.
Right.
So,
has there been a point in your career where you had an injury or something that you were like, "Yo, I can't go anymore"?
He's never been injured. He's completely healthy.
I mean,
I'm
not completely. Well, I wasn't in college at times. I mean, my junior year, I sprained my AC joint last game of the year, and we went to the Big 12 tournament. That's the year we lost. My junior year, we played Oklahoma. Buddy Hield, you know, he had a great year. They put us out first round, and then my shoulder screwed me up through the whole tournament. We was fortunate enough to make it to the Sweet 16, but but I was hurt. Like, you know, only reason I played because we didn't have a backup.
Damn.
So that was the only time.
Pushing through, though.
Right.
Pushed through. I had to get a shot. I didn't practice for the last 3 weeks of the season. Had to get a shot about that long in my shoulder, like, every other day. So it just numbed me, but I wake up, and I couldn't sleep. Trey would tell you, I was grinding my sleep, waking up, yelling. I couldn't lay on my
side.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was rough.
So let's just say you're in the middle of the NBA season, game 44. You're starting point guard for your team, and you have that same pain. Are you resting, or what would you do?
Nah, I'm playing. But it's technology. Say I can't.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm playing no matter. Yeah. That's what I could use both hands.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a random question. Did you have you? I know you were there for 4 years, but did you finish your degree? Have you already finished your degree?
Yeah. I'm taking 2 online classes now.
Nice.
They end tomorrow, actually. I got to get, like, this last assignment submitted.
So we're taking up your study time.
Yeah, no, it's all good. It's only a discussion post. But, I finished that, and I graduate May 5th. So, after my workout in San Antonio, I'll go back to school for that May 5th and 6th. And then,
what made you choose Iowa State?
Honestly, man, you know, I'm the guy that always wanted to compete against the great programs. You know, I'm a competitor. So during my recruiting process, I'm big on loyalty. So Iowa State was in my corner when I was 120 pounds in high school as a freshman.
Were you 120 pounds?
Yeah, as a freshman. Yeah, so they was always in my corner. They stayed calling me, you know, and developed that relationship with everyone, you know, in my family, not just my mother. They have ties to my grandma. They would reach out to them and not even talk to my mom that week, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was big for me. And also, I wanted to go somewhere where my legacy could be remembered, opposed to going to, like, a Duke or a North Carolina, who they see your type of players every year.
Yeah.
And it's so harder to get in the Hall of Fame. Like, you know, at Iowa State, my jersey, you know, would be up there in the rafters.
Sweet.
And I just wanted to go somewhere I could leave my mark, you know, winning this player in school history and all-time steals and assists.
That's awesome.
I couldn't have did that maybe at, you know, a different university because they had so many great players, you know. So I wanted to go somewhere where they would give me that love and support, and Iowa State was a school.
What other major D1 schools recruited you?
Yeah, I had a lot. The Big East, when it was up and running, I had Marquette. I had I had all the Big East.
Nice.
A lot of Big Ten schools. Michigan offered me. Michigan State didn't offer me. I wanted to go there in, like, the fourth grade. Like, I was ready to commit. I wanted to be a Spartan so bad. Right. But, I mean, everything happened for a reason. I never performed good in front of Izzo. My mom wanted me to go to Gonzaga. They never offered me. Yeah, so I had a...
SEC school? I'm an SEC girl.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Gregory at the time was at Georgia Tech. You know, Georgia Tech looked at me.
No University of Georgia? No, Georgia? We didn't recruit you?
No.
Our basketball program sucks. That's why we didn't recruit you. They didn't even know. We missed out on him. Look, y'all.
You did, because I'm not going to say it on air.
What, say it?
Nope.
Why?
I'll say it off air.
You going to talk about Frazier? Get out of here. In case you missed it.
Can I take this one? Kobe Bryant, you guys. So I don't know if you guys saw Kobe Bryant's Good Morning America interview.
I saw your post.
You were emo. I was so emotional.
It was super emo. It was so sweet, though. I missed it.
Okay, so basically, I remember when he had that Dear Basketball when he was, like, super dramatic about his retirement, and I cried. So basically, he's making that into an animated film. And one of the things that he said in his interview is that it's important to for athletes, younger athletes, the next ones coming up, to know that basketball isn't who you are, it's what you do to determine that difference.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, if you, now that you're entering another point in your life where you're going to the league professionally, is there something that you, like a hobby that you would be interested into if basketball wasn't your, if you weren't in this position right now?
Yeah.
Like, do you have a secret thing that you're interested in? Did you want a coach? You have a... No, are you artistic or what?
No, I'm really a good bowler. I can bowl.
Oh, snap!
Yeah.
Let's go to pins.
Yeah, I can go to, I mean, as a basketball. I seen Chad Johnson bowl, and he bowled like a 110. I bowled a 223 the other night.
Damn.
So I can bowl. That's my secret talent. A lot of people.
Really?
Yeah. We bowl like on my off time. If we ain't playing ball, we'll go to the bowling alley.
What
bowling alleys you guys go to?
We went to Penn's. I'm out there in Chino Hills right now. So
Penn's is down.
Right.
Yeah, though. Bowling, for sure.
Update. Yeah. Conley was just drafted by the Raiders.
That's my new team. Marshawn and Conley. And Derek Carr. And that's lethal. Derek Carr, Marshawn, and...
Well, Conley's on the defensive end, so...
But I'm just saying, but just as a team, like as a team in general.
If they stay healthy, they're going to win the division.
Another question that I had off of, like, after Kobe's interview is a lot of high school players right now in AAU, I guess they go through a transition where they're like, oh, if I don't go to a top D1 school, some kids weren't as heavily recruited as you were. Mm-hmm. So what pieces of information could you give to a younger guy who may be looking up to you that might be recruited to like a mid-major school or maybe go to the JC route and then get, you know, what are some things that you can say to that boy?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to just chase your dream. You know, God got a different role for every guy. You know, that play basketball, you know, every guy not going to have a red carpet laid out for him throughout his whole career. You know, if you look at the NBA, it's LeBron James, Kevin Durant. There's not many superstars in the NBA, you know, out of 450 players. So I would just tell him, you know, whoever want to take you, take a chance on you, just do that and grind, man. The platform of social media is so big, it's so easy to get noticed. You know, back then when I was playing, like in 2012 in AAU, our games weren't televised and all that. Now, every time somebody play AAU, make a crazy play, they all over the internet.
So it's that easy
to get, you know, noticed. So anywhere you go, if you good at basketball, I'm sure they'll find you nowadays, for sure.
Okay. NFL draft, we just, nothing really to update except for Gerrion Conley. Trubisky?
Yeah, Trubisky. The Bears traded up to get him at number two.
I know.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Masha, do you follow NFL at all?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Who's your team?
Oh.
Lions?
I mean, I ain't really got no team, honestly. I just got, favorite players.
Who are your favorite players?
I like Odell Beckham.
Yes!
G-man! Because I was a wide receiver back in my day.
Nice, you know, nice.
Look at him.
Live studio audience. We're getting some reactions from the live studio audience. What's that reaction?
Come on, I got film. But, yeah, Odell Beckham. But, yeah, I could catch, man.
Okay.
Yeah,
right tackle,
yeah, he was 120 pounds. That's why he was scared.
I was a young but yeah, Odell Beckham for sure. I ain't really got no team.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm not into it like that. I want to be the Lions fan, but they so.
That's your hometown team, though. So yeah. You got to ride with them. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
You a Pistons fan growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Rashid and Chauncey.
Oh yeah,
era.
Right.
I was about 8, but yeah.
Okay.
I was about 8, 9 years old.
In case you missed it, Drake.
Oh, yeah. Drake is hosting the NBA Awards in June. June 26th is the first one. It's going to be in New York.
Didn't he host the ESPYs one year?
That's going to be lit.
He did. 2014, he hosted the ESPYs. He's a great host.
Yeah, he is.
He's really good. I think this is going to be really funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, Drake already has... I want to see if there's a picture that I have of Drake that just completely... Oh, yeah. Like, that's Drake. he has a lot of connections to a lot of the NBA players. I think this is going to be really funny.
Because he's a groupie. He's an NBA groupie.
I don't know. I think this is going to be good for the fans. What are you guys' thoughts about NBA?
I mean, I think he's a good host.
I think he's a great host.
I think he does well on SNL every time he goes on.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting a lot of funny sketches, things like that. I think it's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the sketches out of everything. I don't, the awards, but it's the sketches that
he and Blake Griffin have the driest... Most. I don't know. I think they have great, great comedic timing. Why do you roll your eyes?
I didn't roll my eyes.
I thought you did.
I didn't.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg.
Chat room?
No.
Nothing? Y'all silent tonight.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg is the name of the celebrity commissioner of the new championship basketball league. That's where pro players who are 3 years out of the league are... You know about this?
Yeah.
How you feel about this championship league?
Is this the
the 3-on-3?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know nothing about this. I thought this was the basketball.
I think it's the same one.
You know what I'm talking about?
$1 million.
Yeah, I thought that's.
Oh no, this is actually an actual league where players. I don't know if it's going to be year round or just a summertime thing, but Snoop is named the celebrity face of the league.
Anything Snoop is a part of, I think he's going to be good.
Right.
He's funny.
Are you playing any summer league?
Whoever I get drafted by, I definitely, I want to play in, the Drew League.
I was going to say, can you play Drew yet or no?
They probably won't let me.
Right.
I think there's a time where...
I definitely would love to do that for real. So.
Tell us something we don't know about you that we haven't talked about yet. Don't defer to the live studio audience.
No, that's what I was going to say. I'm really, a homebody, everybody see me in Ames and stuff, Iowa State, and just because I'm, a high level profile athlete, they just think, maybe at times I get a lot more attention, than I do. I honestly come home and go in my room, shut the door, and watch Forensic Files all day.
Yes, Forensic Files.
Yeah,
HLN,
I'm real chill. Man, you know what I'm saying? That's all I do for real. I'm either watch Forensic Files or at the bowling alley or at the gym. So
what's your favorite
food? Chill. My mama tacos, y'all gotta try them. Bomb, soft shells.
Hey, mom.
Hey, big time.
Hey, mom.
My draft party, I'm gonna have her make a lot of
nice.
Them, so, yeah.
And your draft party's gonna be back home?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's dope.
Yeah.
Any other personal questions we wanna ask Monte?
Is there a message you wanna get out to any of the NBA teams or to people, scouts?
Right.
Whenever chance I got to say that,
yeah,
for sure. I'll just tell, it's a lot of NBA teams out there, but... whoever take me, I should say it's a great, investment just because you probably won't find no one as eager to be successful as me.
Yeah.
I know a lot of guys say that, they're a hard worker and things like that. But despite, whether I go out, with my friends or anything, I always get up bright and early and, put the work in and put the time in. So I definitely would say I'm self-motivated, and a lot of guys get complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And, my mom, in Flint, she worked at a low income, housing. She's a manager there.
Wow.
So I'm really just trying to change her life, So for me to do that, I got to put in the time. And if you take a chance on me, I definitely, I'm definitely trying to do big things on the team. So, yeah.
Right.
You hear that, Phil Jackson?
Right. You hear that, Doc Rivers, if you're still there in a couple of months. But, you know, honestly, and I this is going to sound so cliche, but I really do, like, I really feel the sincerity in what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you say that you go home and close up in your room, I really do believe that. Some people, I don't believe that. Yeah. But I really do believe that. And that, you know, as a player on a professional team is important. Like,
yeah,
that you that you have that work ethic.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of value in the fact that you did go to college for 4 years. I mean, I know I keep harping on that, but I think there's a certain maturity that comes with having been an adult, kind of, you know, an adult, but not really an adult. I think that's what college gives you, an opportunity to grow into your own while still being supervised by, you know, successful people. So, Clippers, Lakers.
Knicks.
Knicks, right?
I can't even tell you the last time we had a really good point guard.
Linsanity.
That lasted like 2 weeks.
Right.
He went from a couch to the million.
You,
right, literally.
You would be dope with the D'Antoni system. You would be really dope. What?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
He'll be dope anywhere.
Yeah, he would be.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you get involved to a guy who doesn't turn the ball over and makes plays for other people in an offense where it's spread out and he can drive and make decisions.
Right.
And he can shoot.
Yeah, that's funny.
And he goes home. He doesn't go out.
I can't wait to get the workouts.
Well, will you make us a promise when you get drafted, and if it's to an LA team, will you please come back?
Definitely.
I mean, seriously, because people tell us that, and we're like, oh, you're going to go to the Olympics. Can you come back after you win your gold medal? And then they don't come back. We've had like two Olympians come here before they went, and they did not come back to see us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cut from a different cloth, man. So I'm big on loyalty and my word, so I'm definitely going to I definitely come back, you know, especially if I'm out here.
Okay.
You know, rain the cool people and, you know, and Chubb. Chubb's like Draymond.
Y'all are cute. All right, guys. Anything else?
Diva says, wishing you much luck in the NBA draft, and she applauds the live studio.
Live studio audience. Yo, go ahead, Raina.
Shout out to the WNBA. They started they started training for their season, and shout out to Chelsea Gray. She'll be home soon. LA Sparks, women's basketball, Seattle Storm, Noelle Quinn. They started their preseason workout. So shout out to the WNBA. I'm looking forward to watching their games.
Who did Liberty take?
That's right. Ask her. Ask her all those questions. Ask her the tough questions.
Let's go, Liberty.
Liberty, they took a really good player. Shit, I forgot who it was.
Right.
But
really
Kelsey
good.
Plum went to the San Antonio Stars. I don't know if you guys saw.
Yeah.
She threw a t-shirt? Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, she threw it.
I'm
like
excited for her.
Yeah.
Kelsey Plum can
hoop. So who your favorite WNBA player since?
Growing up, it was always Diana Taurasi.
Yeah.
I love her. And she's still playing. And even, like, I met her, too. And she's just she's just so sweet. But Diana Taurasi, I love how she has her killer instinct.
Yeah,
but personally, right now, I loved Kelsey Plum, watching her all her college.
That's a baby James Harden.
Yes,
yeah,
lefty.
Monte, Mr. Rigman says, enjoy yourself on the road to the big leagues. All right, guys. That's our show for the night, unless you want to throw in anything else before we go.
Nah, thanks for having me. And more welcome to come back with my crowd.
With a live studio audience.
You know, come back and have fun again.
Okay, guys. So every Thursday night, Sports Weekly, your favorite sports squad, 7 o'clock. I'm Eric Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, Insta Story, and on Twitter at Eric Renee D.
Josh Rodriguez, Twitter and Instagram, Josh_Rodriguez_. Also hit up my station on the Anchor app, 10 Minute Drill. You can follow us on Twitter at 10 Minute Drill.
And I'm Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale. And Monte, where can we follow you on social media?
Monte Morris. You can follow me on Twitter at MonteMorris11 and on Instagram at BigGameTech.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on BlackHollywoodLive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram that we will update eventually one day, promise, at BHL Sports Weekly. Shout out to Charlie. We missed you guys. We missed you tonight. And thank you, chat room.
Yes.
As always, thank you, Monte. Until next week, see ya.
Take care.
See you guys.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram, @KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.